5880-1057 The Fan. Here on this Monday, no real musical theme. Just going with the flow as Nolan sees the flow. Got the American League East report coming up at 1:15, NFL lunch. 1:30, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. July 1st, everybody. How about that? All-Star game, couple of weeks. Then the trade deadline and all sorts of crazy stuff going on with that. And here to make sense of it all from USA Today, let's welcome into the program Bob Nightingale. Bob, what's up?
Good, Bob. Everything good.
Yeah, appreciate your time as always, my friend. And let's talk about the trade deadline looming here. And the Orioles could use a pitcher or two, maybe a starter, a reliever, just like a lot of teams could. So are we, like Jesus Luzardo, for instance, with his latest injury, probably going to be off the market here for the foreseeable future. But give our listeners, Bob, a list of potential targets for Mike Elias and every other contending team here. Now we're in July.
Well, that's the thing. You only got a, four or five teams that are actually definite sellers. So there's not a whole lot on the market. I mean, the intriguing team is the Chicago White Sox. You got Garrett Crochet pitching lights out, pitching as good as any pitcher in baseball. You get him for two more years after this. The kid's only making $800,000, so absolute steal. But he's already thrown about 45, 50 innings more than he has his entire career. So you're getting him more for the future. You don't know how much he can help you in September, October. Maybe as a reliever, not as a starter. You've got Eric Fetty also from the White Sox, who's pitching very well. It fit in as a nice, number three, number four starter, a rental type guy. And I want to say is that you're left in the contract too, so you get him for next year. Then you'll reach down to Tampa Bay with Zach Eflin. He's under contract for one more year at $18 million, but a good veteran guy. And, certainly in the rotation next year too, particularly if you don't bring back, Corbin Burns. So, those are the guys that jump out, Luis Severino of the Mets, if the Mets are on the race. Otherwise, not a whole lot out there. They already tried Jack Flaherty, so I don't see them reaching back and grabbing Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, Nolan McGraw, our producer, would be against that 1,000%. I think he would boycott Oriole games for a hero on out. But I'm going to throw a couple of young guys out there, and I'm not saying they're going to be available. Maybe it's just a Bob Haney wish list. Mason Miller, Oakland, and then Tarek Skubal in Detroit would certainly be upgrades. But we're talking Jackson Holliday, Heston Kerr, that level of compensation, if Oakland or Detroit will be looking to deal here.
Yeah, I just can't see. Detroit's not that far away from contention, maybe, a year. So I can't see him trading Tarek Skubal. I mean, this guy playing with the Cy Young Award. He's under contract or, under team control, for, I think, three more years. Great kid. I just can't see them trading a stud like that. Same with Mason Miller. I just talked to him yesterday. You got 5 years of control. But yeah, you would have to give up, something crazy, like your Jackson Holliday for him, that sort of thing. And I don't see that, happening under any condition. So, and yeah, I just can't, two studs, one reliever, one starter. I can't see those guys getting moved.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's get to the AL West. We just saw the Rangers. They did win last night, but the Birds did take 3 out of 4. They're 8 games below 500, 8 games out of it, but with everyone still sniffing wild cards, they're not done yet. But when do things get to DEFCON 2 for Texas, realizing that this could not be a repeat season for them? And what would their plans be moving forward, if so?
Yeah, I think moving forward is just kind of, not make any move, not buy, not sell. I mean, you got a, you already got Scherzer back. They're hoping to get DeGrom back in August, Tyler Mahle back in July. Still star-studded offense. So I can't see them doing anything. And I wouldn't give up on them. I still think it's a very good team. I still like that team a little bit better than the Astros. Of course, are a lot closer. So we'll see. Anything can happen. Seattle got the great pitching, but no offense. So I don't think they sell. If they buy, it'll just be very, very little pieces.
Bob, don't you think it's best for the Orioles right now, and probably anybody else that wants a pitcher, to wait as long as possible closer to the trade deadline when there gets to be more teams involved in the selling process?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you only have four or five teams selling, you know. I know Jerry DePoto of the Mariners said there's only two teams he's talked to that are really active selling. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't see any way that Tarik Skubal will be available. But what if Detroit say, you know what, we'll listen, beginning July 25th or something. You know, that's the guy everybody would want. I know they're, Orioles are one of the teams on Crochet. Everybody wants that kid. So, yeah, usually nothing happens anyway until the last 72 hours. And certainly really nothing happens now because of the draft, All-Star game Sunday, 2 weeks from yesterday. So nothing's going to happen the next 2 weeks.
Bob, are the Orioles good enough if they make no moves to win the World Series?
I think they need their starter. I really do. It's possible. That's my pick to win the World Series. Certainly they got, more young talent than any team in baseball. You just worry about come October. It's a situation where you're relying so much on Corbin Burns. What if Corbin Burns loses that start? Then panic comes in like, he's our guy. That's what happened to Brewers a year ago. Corbin Burns lost to Diamondbacks and never recovered. So I think you got to go get one more starter with them. And they just lost too many with free agents and stuff like that. And, you can't – all those young prospects aren't going to all, play. There's not enough room for the Orioles. So I think they got to go get some help. It'd just be interesting to see how aggressive they're going to be as far as getting that help. Do they go for a stud or just a guy who can help them out? And that's, I think, a guy like a Zach Eflin would be a nice fit because he's a veteran guy. Certainly could be a nice number three starter for you in the playoffs. He's got postseason experience.
As long as it's not Jack Flaherty again, as Nolan McGraw says there. Bob Nightingale. All right, last thing for you, Bob. We just saw Cleveland last week. The Indians are for real. How for real? Right now, six games up in the Central.
Well, they're hitting. I liked them a lot last year. And, these pitching injuries and they've had some pitching injuries. Lose your Cy Young winner. Trish McKenzie just got sent out. But they're offensively, they're really in the ball. No one saw this coming. They kind of redesigned the stadium, and they're kind of taking advantage of that wind current in right center. They're real. I mean, they're a very good team. I don't think, people want to face them in the playoffs. They won't be, they will not be favored over the Yankees or Orioles, but they're good. Same as Seattle. I think it's the last team anybody wants to see in the playoffs just because that's how you win. That's how you win games in the playoffs. That's how you win the World Series. It's pitching. It's not the offense. So that's why I'd like to see the Orioles get another starter and certainly a closer just to, to help their chances because, in the postseason, it seems like those great offenses tend to get shut down.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Have a great 4th, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Sounds great. Take care, guys.
There he is, Bob Nightingale, everybody. So Jack Flaherty could be available, Nolan. Let that sink in a little bit there. But Nolan's a hard no, but Tarik Skubal, dream guy for a lot of people. Not available now and maybe not ever. First Detroit, as they're trying to get themselves into contention here, maybe as soon as next year. But he agrees with me because great minds think alike, starter and reliever. And let's get deep into the playoffs, shall we? 5-7 The Fan, American League East Report and beyond here on this July 1st. Orioles last night, national TV, get clobbered by the Rangers, 11-2. Cole Irvin, another rough outing, 3 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, couple of walks, couple of Ks. He finishes the month of June 1-3 with a 6.30 earned run average. His last few outings have been pretty poor, not what the Orioles had hoped for. When you have starters dropping like flies, you need a veteran guy to step up. And that's he did the exact opposite of that. And it's a game they won that still has me pissed off more than any other. The Yankee game where he couldn't get through 5 innings where they scored 11 runs while he was in there. and 17 for the game. But maybe the calendar changing to July will save him just a little bit. Orioles, by the way, struck out 12 times last night, didn't walk once, as they had a hard time putting runs on the board. Andrew Heaney, no relation, was doing some good things for the Texas Rangers, who we just talked about with Bob Nightingale, and they're having a disappointing year. But Bob said, just stay the course, and you know maybe things will work out better for them. Wyatt Langford hit for the cycle, needed a home run, got it,
yeah,
in his last at-bat. And then Derek Hill hit three home runs over the weekend, including two last night. But before you start to fret and talk about how bad the Orioles are, they did win the series 3-1. They do start July in first place in the American League's Eastern Division by percentage points over the Yankees. They finished the month of June where they had only one scheduled off day, and that was 2 weeks ago, 17-12, nine straight winning months for the Orioles, who now go to Seattle, taking on the first-place Mariners, and that pitching, Grayson Rodriguez, will be on the hill for the Orioles, looking for his 10th win of the season, and maybe making a little late charge to get to the All-Star game, as I was advocating for him last week. Corbin Burnes is going to be in the All-Star game, but we'll see who else joins him in Arlington. But in the division yesterday outside of Baltimore, it was San Diego trying to handle their business against Boston, and one of Boston's best players, if not their best player, said, nah, not today.
He's in lead for Abreu, and the pitch is swung on, hitting the air to left field and deep. Way back by the light tower, and it is gone into the monster seats. Opposite field, home run. Raffy Devers is 18th, and it's 2-0 Red Sox.
Red Sox radio, 4-1 was the final score as the Sox avoid the sweep. San Diego does win the series, however, 2-1. Manny Machado had a big night a couple of nights ago at Fenway Park. Toronto was trying to win the series against the Yankees yesterday. Kevin Gausman was on the hill. And Aaron Judge, boy, he broke out his whipping stick and whipping in a big way.
Judge drives that in the air to center.
A loud noise.
Back, no doubt. Looking up, Aaron Judge.
Oh, that was a loud noise, too.
Halfway to 62.
Damn, 31.
Yes, Network, as he blasted one off the facade out the straightaway, what was it, left center field, off Kevin Gausman. 8-1 was the final score. Garrett Cole got the win, but split the series. The Yankees had lost four straight series prior to that one, but Toronto couldn't get over the hump as the Blue Jays' questionable season, shall we say, continues on. Also in the division, Tampa Bay taking on the Nats down at the Trop, and bats got loud there, too.
And a shot back into deep left.
Yeah. New headphones are working pretty good.
Yes. That baby's gone.
Randy Arozarena hits his 11th home run of the year.
One of the three hit yesterday by the Tampa Bay Rays. 5-0. That was Dwayne Stats, Bally Sports on the call. 5-0 as Tampa beats Washington, and winning the finale means they win the series 2-1. So Tampa will get to the standings here in a second. You know, showing a positive vibe here moving forward. Today, only one game in the division, only three overall. The Astros are in Toronto taking on the Blue Jays. That's actually a little day baseball. 3:07 first pitch there. Here's your standings update on this July 1st. Since we said July 1st, we're going to look at the wild card. Still really doesn't mean anything, but give you an idea of how many teams are still clanking around and hoping for positivity. Orioles 53-31, plus 112 run differential, percentage points ahead of the Yankees, who are 54-32. They've lost 7 of 10. Orioles have lost 6 of 10 themselves here, and that had a 4-game winning streak involved in it, too. Boston, 44-39. They've won 6 of 10. Tampa back to 500, 7 of 10. They've won, and Toronto still bringing up the rear, 14.5 games out. They have lost 7 of their last 10. The Guardians, for real, 6 games up on the Twins. Twins are playing good baseball, man. They're 10 games over 500. They've won 6 of 10. Kansas City, 47-39. They're clanking around. Tigers, not so much. 38-46. Out west, Seattle, who the Orioles face starting tomorrow, they're 3.5 up on the Astros, who have been playing. They won 9 of 10.
Yeah.
Two in a row. They started to get hot right around the time the Orioles went in there and got swept last weekend. The Rangers, we just saw them. They're 8 games out of first. In the NL East, Phillies are 8 games up on the Bravos there. Brujas, 6.5 up on the Cardinals. And then out west, Dodgers are 7.5 up on the Padres. But to give people an idea, Vinny, of why the trade deadline is a little tepid, or the trade market anyway,
yep.
It's a little different in the American League. For instance, if the playoffs started today, the Yankees would play the Twins in the wild card round, and the Kansas City Royals would take on Seattle. Orioles and Guardians would have the first round bye. Boston's 1.5 out. Houston's 3.5. We're talking about the wild card. Tampa's 4. And then things kind of dip a little bit.
Yep.
7.5, 8, 8, you get it, et cetera, et cetera. National League's a little closer. Atlanta and San Diego would be in, as would the Cardinals. Mets are 2 out. Diamondbacks, defending National League champs, they're 2.5. Giants are 3. Pittsburgh's 3. Nats are 4. Reds 4.5. Then the Cubs are 5. But basically, 5 teams are done, I guess. We would say the Angels, A's, White Sox, Marlins, and Rockies.
Don't you think the Tigers are done?
I think the Tigers are, if they're not done, the timer's about to pop up here at any time. But week ago, we were looking at these wild card standings, and I think there were like 8 teams within a game and a half of the wild card. So we're starting to see teams maybe drop off just a little bit here. So standings update, wild card, it's July 1st. Orioles are division leaders as we sit here on a Monday trying to maintain that spot. I still think they need a starter and a reliever, but I'm not sharing news that most people don't already know themselves. Again, it goes back to who's going to be available and what is Mike Elias going to be willing to sacrifice to bring in the needs, because everyone else is going to be looking for pitching themselves. Say the Yankees are going to be like, well, we can't let Joe Blow go to the Orioles because that'll put them over the top. So now we got to make a run at Joe Blow. And the same thing for other teams trying to win divisions or get to wild cards. So we know that, and that's going to be a thing to keep an eye on here over the next few weeks. Again, Orioles are off tonight. Then it's the Mariners tomorrow. Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles going for win number 10. George Kirby, tough right-hander, 7-5, 335 goes for Seattle. We'll come back. NFL lunch, going to talk some Ravens, and in particular Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Could this be a happy marriage? Could this be a duo that gets the Orioles? It even helps the Orioles win the World Series. That's how good these guys could be as Derrick Henry comes from Tennessee. I think with something to prove.
No doubt.
I think he's ready to come here and show that he can still perform and perform at a high level, and he can coexist with arguably the greatest running quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Got a fun house trip at 1:45, then inside access at 2 here on this Monday.
As Derrick Henry is in the Wildcat, and he fakes the pitch.
That was Rich Eisen, NFL Network, on the call. That was Ravens-Titans in London last season. 69-yard run for Derrick Henry on his way to 1,167 yards, 12 touchdowns, average 4.2 per carry, all 17 games he participated in. Now he applies his trade here in Baltimore for the Ravens. Look, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, they're with the Chargers now. They're not walking through that door. Keaton Mitchell's not walking through that door healthy anytime soon, unfortunately. Now Derrick Henry comes in. It's where he wanted to be all along, he says. Now he's going to try to get him acclimated, get himself acclimated to the new Todd Monken offense. And how do he and Lamar Jackson, Vinny, coexist? I mean, of course, you're not going to see their offense in its full effect during minicamp. Not even in pads yet. But the upside is what? Perhaps for these two doing really good things together.
Well, I think I think overall it helps a ton for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, look at defensively what happened in 19. I mean, the offense had the ball time of possession wise like 34 minutes. So, I mean, overall the defense played like 3 quarters. So, I mean, that's where it helps defensively, especially if you're struggling some on defense. And then offensively, I think it's going to help Lamar. I think they're going to have a chance to have bigger plays in the play-action game. And I think Lamar's going to have to run less, which probably keeps him a lot healthier. which would be a big thing. But I think he'll, what I'd like to see, because Lamar ran it 148 times last year. All right, if he could run it 125 times, 650 yards or whatever, if he could average, like in 19, he averaged almost 7 yards a carry. This year, he averaged 5.5. So if he could average his 5.5 or, but get an extra, if he can get an extra 3 first downs a game, Lamar, with his legs, that'll be big. Moving to chains 3 more times. And I don't need him to rush for over 800 yards. I don't need him to be the leading rusher. If Henry is what we think he's going to be, he'll be the leading rusher easily for the Ravens. Just because Lamar's not going to have as many carries. And like last year, his longest run was 30. I don't see him having an 80-yard run and doing those types of things. So I don't see him making a lot of yards that way. So I think that's going to help Lamar stay healthier. And then the other things is, you know, with quarterback rating, or let's look at getting sacked.
Yeah.
3 or more sacks in a game last year, they had 10. 10. All right, let's say that Voorhees and whoever the right guard is, and probably Falele at the right tackle, that they're better run blockers than they are pass blockers. Okay. And we got to pound Henry a little bit more. We got to use our run pass option. We got to use play action pass. We just can't drop back and expect him to be able to protect all day. So I think he, 3 or more sacks in a game. In 19, with an excellent run game, they had 3. And in this past year, they had 10. So if they can get that down, Bob, to 5, that would be huge. And then that'll help a young offensive line by, you know, because if they're worried about Henry, they got to play run first instead of, you know, if you're throwing it 50 times in a game, they're lined up in a track stance. They don't give a damn about the run. They're coming.
Right.
And that's what happened a lot of times, you know, when you're getting a lot of sacks, like over 30 pass attempts in a game. Ravens had 9 this year. Be ideal. I wish I would have went back and looked at Kubiak's years, how many times they threw it over 30 times, just because play action pass in the run game is so big at the time. And I think also, Bob, you know, 3 or more touchdown passes in a game, I think Lamar, he'll increase that because he only had 3. And I think Henry will help that because you might be getting more man coverage if they got to put another guy in the box and those type of things. Because in 19, they had 8 games, half the season, with 3 or more touchdown passes. That's pretty damn good. That's why, how you end up with 36. But that's pretty good. And then I think it's going to help Lamar's quarterback rating too, Bob. Although it was 102.7 in 19, it was 113. And that's because of all the touchdown passes. But if he could have over 100 quarterback rating in like 12 of those games, more importantly, in all the playoff games. If he can have a quarterback rating in all the playoff games over 100, that would be huge because he had in 19, he had 63.2. And against Houston, Bob, 121.8. And in Kansas City, 75.5. But the thing about it is against Houston and Kansas City, the 2 playoff games, Bob, 7 sacks.
Yeah.
7.
So that's 44 in the year. By the way, Tyler Huntley got sacked 4 times, too. So
yeah,
they're almost 50 sacks for the quarterbacks, to your point. And also, you bring up those playoff games. He ran for 100 yards against Houston.
Yes, he did.
And then maybe, as we talked about last week with Cordell, maybe he was banged up against Kansas City because he only ran it 8 times. And it seemed as though there were many opportunities for him to hit the road because he, in the second half, he just basically put the team on his shoulders and said, wait a minute, this thing's a little closer than it should be. I'm going to MVP it up here. And he did.
And Bob, I think Cordell mentioned it too. I think like in 2019. Bob, if 2019, remember the one that got batted and he went out and caught it? That's a touchdown in 2019. There's nobody there. He makes one guy go and it's over. So I think that's maybe he went back and watched film in 19 and saw kind of what he looked. He says, I got to get back to that.
Yeah, lost the weight. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Monday. Getting back to Derrick Henry and something we discussed last week. If he rushes, if he duplicates last year's numbers, 1167, 4.2, 12 touchdowns, 17 games, we're cool with this or no?
Yeah, he had like 279 carries.
280.
280. Yeah, 1,200 yards from one guy. And then, you know, you get from Justice Hill or whoever else, you get a couple. And then you get 500 from Lamar, and you're getting close to 2,000 yards rushing again. Take that in a heartbeat.
Do they need to add another back, though? Because we want Keaton Mitchell to return and be what he was.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, that's probably more of a 2025 sort of thing. But do they need to bring in another back some way, somehow, keeping in mind that pickings are probably a little slim?
Yeah, Ali.
At that stage.
Well, we'll see what Ali is in the preseason. If Ali is not going to be a help, they're going to need a back, Bob, and probably somebody's got some speed.
Does Lamar need to throw 457 like he did last year? Or does that drop as maybe Henry's workload increases a little bit? Because Gus Buss had 198 carries last year.
Right. I think, Bob, he throws for over 4,000 yards. And could he do it with less throws? Possibly, but he completed 67%. That's the thing. I was thinking maybe even 500 throws, Bob.
As Derrick Henry is in the Wildcat, and he fakes the pitch. And Derrick Henry's free. Derrick Henry is running all the way down to the 9-yard line.
That was Rich Eisen, NFL Network, on the call. That was Ravens Titans in London. Last season, 69-yard run for Derrick Henry on his way to 1,167 yards, 12 touchdowns, average 4.2 per carry, all 17 games he participated in. Now he applies his trade here in Baltimore for the Ravens. Look, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, they're with the Chargers now. Yep. They're not walking through that door. Keaton Mitchell's not walking through that door healthy anytime soon, unfortunately. Now Derrick Henry comes in. It's where he wanted to be all along. He says, now he's going to try to get him acclimated, get himself acclimated to the new Todd Monken offense. And how do he and Lamar Jackson, Vinny, coexist? I mean, of course, you're not going to see their offense in its full effect during minicamp. Nope. Not even in pads yet. But the upside is what, perhaps, for these two doing really good things together?
Well, I think overall, it helps a ton for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, look at defensively what happened in 19. I mean, the offense had the ball time of possession-wise like 34 minutes. So, I mean, overall, the defense played like three quarters. So, I mean, that's where it helps defensively, especially if you're struggling some on defense. And then offensively, I think it's going to help Lamar. I think they're going to have a chance to have bigger plays in the play-action game. And I think Lamar's going to have to run less, which probably keeps him a lot healthier, which would be a big thing. But I think what I'd like to see, because Lamar ran it 148 times last year. All right, if he could run it 125 times, 650 yards or whatever, if he could average, like in 19, he averaged almost 7 yards a carry. This year, he averaged 5.5. So if he could average his 5.5 if he can get an extra 3 first downs a game, Lamar, with his legs, that'll be big. Moving to chains 3 more times. And I don't need him to rush for over 800 yards. I don't need him to be the leading rusher. If Henry is what we think he's going to be, he'll be the leading rusher easily for the Ravens. Just because Lamar's not going to have as many carries. And like last year, his longest run was 30. I don't see him having an 80-yard run and doing those types of things. So I don't see him making a lot of yards that way. So I think that's going to help Lamar stay healthier. And then the other things is, you know, with quarterback rating, or let's look at getting sacked.
Yeah.
Three or more sacks in a game last year, they had 10. 10. All right, let's say that Voorhees and whoever the right guard is, and probably Falele at the right tackle, that they're better run blockers than they are pass blockers. Okay. And we got to pound Henry a little bit more. We got to use our run pass option. We got to use play action pass. We just can't drop back and expect him to be able to protect all day. So I think he, three or more sacks in a game. In 19, with an excellent run game, they had three. And in this past year, they had 10. So if they can get that down, Bob, to 5, that would be huge. And then that'll help a young offensive line by, you know, because if they're worried about Henry, they got to play run first instead of, you know, if you're throwing it 50 times in a game, they're lined up in a track stance. They don't give a damn about the run. They're coming.
Right.
And that's what happened a lot of times, you know, when you're getting a lot of sacks, like over 30 pass attempts in a game. Ravens had 9 this year. Be ideal. I wish I would have went back and looked at Kubiak's years, how many times they threw it over 30 times, just because play action pass in the run game is so big at the time. And I think also, Bob, you know, three or more touchdown passes in a game, I think Lamar, he'll increase that because he only had 3. And I think Henry will help that because you might be getting more man coverage if they got to put another guy in the box and those type of things. Because in 19, they had 8 games, half the season, with three or more touchdown passes. That's pretty damn good. That's why, how you end up with 36. But that's pretty good. And then I think it's going to help Lamar's quarterback rating too, Bob. Although it was 102.7 in 19, it was 113, and that's because of all the touchdown passes. But if he could have over 100 quarterback rating in like 12 of those games, more importantly, in all the playoff games, if he can have a quarterback rating in all the playoff games over 100, that would be huge because he had 19, he had 63.2. And against Houston, Bob, 121.8. And in Kansas City, 75.5. But the thing about it is against Houston and Kansas City, the two playoff games, Bob, 7 sacks.
Yeah.
7.
So that's 44 on the year. By the way, Tyler Huntley got sacked 4 times too. So
yeah,
they're almost 50 sacks for the quarterbacks, to your point. And you bring up those playoff games. He ran for 100 yards against Houston.
Yes, he did.
And then maybe, as we talked about last week with Cordell, maybe he was banged up against Kansas City because he only ran it 8 times. And it seemed as though there were many opportunities for him to hit the road because he, in the second half, he just basically put the team on his shoulders and said, wait a minute, this thing's a little closer than it should be. I'm going to MVP it up here. And he did.
And Bob, I think Cordell mentioned it too. I think, like in 2019, Bob, if 2019, remember the one that got batted and he went out and caught it? That's a touchdown in 2019. There's nobody there. He makes one guy go and it's over. So I think that's, maybe he went back and watched film in 19 and saw kind of what he looked. He says, I got to get back to that.
They lost the weight. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Monday. Getting back to Derrick Henry and something we discussed last week. If he duplicates last year's numbers, 1167, 4.2, 12 touchdowns, 17 games, we're cool with this or no?
Yeah, he had like 279 carries.
280.
280. Yep. I've 1,200 yards from one guy. And then, you know, you get from Justice Hill or whoever else, you get a couple. And then you get 500 from Lamar. and you're getting close to 2,000 yards rushing again, take that in a heartbeat.
Do they need to add another back, though? Because we want Keaton Mitchell to return and be what he was.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, that's probably more of a 2025 sort of thing. But do they need to bring in another back some way, somehow, keeping in mind that pickings are probably a little slim?
Yeah, Ali.
At that stage.
Well, we'll see what Ali is in the preseason. If Ali is not going to be a help, they're going to need a back, Bob, and probably somebody's got some speed.
Does Lamar need to throw 457 like he did last year? Or does that drop as maybe Henry's workload increases a little bit? Because Gus Buss had 198 carries last year.
Right. I think, Bob, he throws for over 4,000 yards. And could he do it with less throws? Possibly, but he completed 67%. That's the thing. I was thinking maybe even 500 throws, Bob. And then he could complete, if he, say he added 50 more throws and, you know, he completed 325, but maybe even up that average to like 8.5, you know, where you hit some more big plays. And if you're hitting big plays, what does that mean? Bateman is doing his thing, you know, and maybe Williams is doing his thing. And then again, if it's not that, maybe if it's less than 8, Bob, means likely and Andrews are catching a lot of the balls.
And by the way, 4,000's not far-fetched. He almost had 3,700 last year.
And he didn't play in that last game. So, you know, you get another 200, you're at 38. So you're exactly right. I mean, yeah, it's not that. A few plays here, you know, the Pittsburgh game, well, they had a lot of drops throughout the season. So that's going to be, the other big thing for Lamar, Bob, is he probably completes 70% if they're not one of the top drop teams in the league.
And another thing we're going to be watching is training camp starts in a couple of weeks. And obviously when the season begins, deep ball accuracy, deep ball shots, and how aggressive Monk and Lamar are going to be trying to hit the home run.
Well, I think they will be. I think they'll be aggressive deep ball wise, just because you got Henry, and it may be advantageous protection wise that you're going to get some one on one chances out there. And who is my guys out there that, you know, can win those one on one? The guy who did it awesome was Odell. You know. The contested catches, Odell was great at them. And who can do, you know, can Bateman be that guy? Or am I throwing to Likely and Andrews on those because they're bigger, stronger than all the other guys they're going against?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the fan, before we get to the break and bring in Nolan McGraw for a funhouse trip before Inside Access takes over at 2. Orioles today reinstated Corbin Burns from the paternity list, and Matt Crook was sent back to AAA Norfolk, which I'm guessing means that Corbin Burns will pitch on Wednesday, since Grayson Rodriguez is going to start the opener tomorrow against Seattle. It's Vinny at 81.057, the fan. Funhouse with Nolan McGraw coming up next here on this Monday. Celtics gave Derek White a nice little extension here. 4 years, $125.9 million. Turns 30 tomorrow. They don't win the NBA championship without his contributions this year. So Derek White getting awarded and rewarded for his performances there. You heard during Nolan's update, Sticks, Jalen Smith. He got $27 million, 3 years from the Bulls. And Aaron Wiggins got $47 million for 5 years from OKC. Cade Cunningham got the rookie max extension for Detroit, who, by the way, hired J.B. Bickerstaff as the new head coach, replacing Monty Williams, who was fired last week. And Paul George leaves the Clips. 4 years, 21. Or wait, I keep saying 21.
200.
212.
Yeah.
$212 million, and Isaiah Hartenstein, Knicks fans, leaving for OKC. He got $87 million, and that's just like an idea of this crazy money that's been flying around here during free agency. So there you go. And LeBron is very gracious of him, said he'll take less if they can bring in some more talent.
Right, but it's got to be done before they leave for Olympic practices.
Because
if he got hurt at the Olympics... He wants it, and I don't blame him for that.
So there you go. Good for him and good for them and all of the good stuff that's going on with that. Nolan, how you feeling? You ready to get to the funhouse? You want to say anything to our loyal listeners here on this Monday?
No, we don't want to close with a Lakers segment. You don't want to go in more in depth on Bronny and LeBron?
I know he's wearing number 9. Number 9. Pass.
That means he's a bust, right?
Number 9.
We're basing that off the number decisions. Yeah. Definitely a bust.
Yeah. If you wear number 9, you suck, man. All right, Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, you mentioned the difference in sacks between Lamar's two MVP seasons. He will be under the most duress this year than he's been since 2021 when Villanueva was a part of the O-line. The O-line this year shaping up to be the worst of Lamar's career. Irresponsible team building around your MVP.
No, we'll see. We'll see, but... All right, in 19, they didn't have a lot of sacks. Why? The O-line wasn't great, but they could run the football. This past year, they didn't have a dominant run game. So Lamar had to drop back more, got sacked more. And the tackle, Ronnie Stanley was awful. And Morgan Moses was okay at the beginning, and then once he got beat up, once he tore that pec, then it was much tougher for him.
This texter here, excited about Henry and Lamar together, says that duo will be like thunder and lightning just when the defense is keyed in on stopping the two-time MVP's legs. The bruiser will be there to plow through them. You can't account for both at the same time. Deception in formations will be important for Monken.
No, I agree with all that. And then those run-pass options where, all right, Lamar's reading it, Lamar's controlling it. Those guys want to come up and bite. Ooh, I hit those guys. And then the other big thing is if that's the case, they'll run a lot of RPOs. Yak yards got to be big.
Yeah, I'm excited about the potential for these two coexisting in the backfield.
Another one here. This texter says, I would like to see Lamar get back to running the ball more in general. His strength in the pass game was hitting just enough to keep defenses honest. He hasn't lost a step, in my opinion. Just has less desire to take off and run for some reason. There are easy yards to be gained on any particular play with him scrambling. Take what the defense gives you. Keep drives alive.
I don't. If he runs more, I want it to be where he's down and out of bounds, not taking big hits and not having the opportunity to get hurt. Although I do know he got hurt the two times pass protection. So. I just think that with Henry and stuff and the running play action pass, they don't need that running as much.
And one last one, texter here wants to get the word out on MVP voting, or excuse me, not MVP voting, All-Star voting for the Orioles. In the outfield, says only two choices to vote for because Judge is already in. Juan Soto going to be a lock. O's fans should vote for him. That way, Stephen Kwan is not taking votes away from Santander. The O's fan mentality will be to vote for anyone that isn't a Yankee, but be counterproductive, actually work against Santander.
I've been voting for Soto and Judge and Santander the entire time.
Yeah, I did too.
And by the way, Bryce Harper is going to be a lock, but his hammy might dictate whether or not he even plays in the game in a couple of weeks here. But yes, phase two started last night. Go to Orioles.com, vote. And get your birds to the All-Star game. We're back tomorrow. Turn it up Tuesday. Talking more about the Orioles, previewing that one with the Seattle Mariners. Corbin Burns off the paternity list. So that means he'll probably go on Wednesday. Grayson Rodriguez going for win number 10 tomorrow against George Kirby. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. Celtics gave Derek White a nice little extension here. 4 years, $125.9 million. Turns 30 tomorrow. They don't win the NBA championship without his contributions this year. So Derek White getting awarded and rewarded for his performances there. You heard during Nolan's update, Sticks, Jalen Smith. He got $27 million, 3 years from the Bulls. And Aaron Wiggins got 47 mil for 5 years from OKC. Cade Cunningham got the rookie max extension for Detroit, who, by the way, hired J.B. Bickerstaff as the new head coach, replacing Monty Williams, who was fired last week. And Paul George leaves the Clips. 4 years, 21, or what, I keep saying 21.
200.
212.
Yeah.
$212 million. And Isaiah Hartenstein, Knicks fans, leaving for OKC. He got $87 million. And that's just like an idea of this crazy money that's been flying around here during free agency. So there you go. And LeBron is very gracious of him, said he'll take less if they can bring in some more talent.
Right, but it's got to be done before they leave for Olympic practices.
That's right. Yeah.
Because if he got hurt at the Olympics, he wants it. And I don't blame him for that.
So there you go. Good for him and good for them and all of the good stuff that's going on with that. Nolan, how you feeling? You ready to get to the fun house? Or you want to say anything to our loyal listeners here on this Monday?
No, we don't want to close with a Lakers segment. You don't want to go in more in depth on Bronny and LeBron?
I know he's wearing number 9. Number 9.
Pass.
That means he's a bust, right?
Number 9.
We're basing that off the number decisions. Yeah. Definitely a bust.
Yeah. If you wear number 9, you suck, man. All right, Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, you mentioned the difference in sacks between Lamar's two MVP seasons. He will be under the most duress this year than he's been since 2021 when Villanueva was a part of the O-line. The O-line this year shaping up to be the worst of Lamar's career. Irresponsible team building around your MVP.
We'll see. But, all right, in 19, they didn't have a lot of sacks. Why? The O-line wasn't great, but they could run the football. This past year, they didn't have a dominant run game. So Lamar had to drop back more, got sacked more. And the tackle, Ronnie Stanley was awful. And Morgan Moses was okay at the beginning, and then once he got beat up, once he tore that pec, then it was much tougher for him.
This texter here, excited about Henry and Lamar together, says that duo will be like thunder and lightning just when the defense is keyed in on stopping the two-time MVP's legs. The bruiser will be there to plow through them. You can't account for both at the same time. Deception in formations will be important for Monken.
No, I agree with all that. And then those run-pass options where, all right, Lamar's reading it, Lamar's controlling it. Those guys want to come up and bite. Ooh, I hit those guys. And then the other big thing is if that's the case, they'll run a lot of RPOs, Yak Yard's got to be big.
Yeah, I'm excited about the potential for these two coexisting in the backfield.
Another one here, this texter says, I would like to see Lamar get back to running the ball more in general. His strength in the pass game was hitting just enough to keep defenses honest. He hasn't lost a step, in my opinion, just has less desire to take off and run for some reason. There are easy yards to be gained on any particular play with him scrambling. Take what the defense gives you. Keep drives alive.
I don't. If he runs more, I want it to be where he's down and out of bounds, not taking big hits and not having the opportunity to get hurt, although I do know he got hurt the two times pass protection. So I just think that with Henry and stuff and the run and play action pass, they don't need that running as much.
And one last one, texter here wants to get the word out on MVP voting, or excuse me, not MVP voting, All-Star voting for the Orioles. In the outfield, says, only two choices to vote for because Judge is already in. Juan Soto going to be a lock. O's fans should vote for him. That way, Stephen Kwan is not taking votes away from Santander. The O's fan mentality will be to vote for anyone that isn't a Yankee, but be counterproductive, actually work against Santander.
I've been voting for Soto and Judge and Santander the entire time.
Yeah, I did too.
And by the way, Bryce Harper is going to be a lock, but his hammy might dictate whether or not he even plays in the game in a couple of weeks here. But yes, phase two started last night. Go to Orioles.com, vote, and get your birds to the All-Star game. We're back tomorrow, Turn It Up Tuesday, talking more about the Orioles, previewing that one with the Seattle Mariners. Corbin Burns off the paternity list, so that means he'll probably go on Wednesday. Grayson Rodriguez going for win number 10 tomorrow against George Kirby. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.